Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. In this episode, Bart and I talk about Missional Marketing, which is a company we both work for and thought it could be helpful to understand what it is. We also talk about some new tools that just came out for SermonSpark, and I interview Jason Moore, an amazing guy, all about how to use AI for Christmas this year. Let's get started.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ. Here are your hosts, Bart Blair and Dr. David Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of the AI for Churches podcast, where you find two bald guys talking about artificial intelligence for churches. Well, two bald guys, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, if you happen to be listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, just pretend that we have hair. It would make us both feel really, really good. I don't know when the last time was you had hair, David. I haven't had hair in a long time. We could do artificial hair, I guess, if we wanted to.
Well, on that note, can I just want to admit something. So last night we were at, I was in a church worship service for our church had like a worship night. And I have to admit, we're singing worship. And I did look around the congregation and just was saying, how many bald people are in this congregation? Man, there's a lot more people that have hair than I thought. I'm more of in a minority than I expected. And I was a little bit sad about that as I was like singing, you know, Jesus, we give you, trust you with the future. But I have to admit, I had a slight pause and that was going through my head. I was counting the bald heads.
I am pretty sure, Dr. Thorne, that there are other churches you could try out that would have far more bald men than the church that you're currently attending. But let's leave that topic. I am Bart Blair, and I am, as always, on this podcast, joined by David Thorne, who oversees the research and development at AI for Churches, a division of Missional Marketing. I work on the Missional Marketing team, and I feel very privileged to have the opportunity to hang out with David to talk about things related to AI. We just want to help churches learn how to best leverage artificial intelligence for efficiencies, for improvements in processes, and just to not be afraid of what AI is. So thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a great interview that David's going to share with you that he recently did with Jason Moore. Jason's one of our favorite AI people, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. But David, I know that before you got to the interview today, you had a couple of other things that you wanted to kind of chime in on, or maybe at least get into the conversation about Christmas a little bit.
Yeah. So Bart and I have the privilege of working for a great company called Missional Marketing. And it's one of those things where besides AI stuff, I wanted just to share and have people be aware of what Missional Marketing even does. So we help churches with AI stuff, helping churches go further, go faster, become more efficient, save money, save time with AI. But Missional Marketing as a company helps churches to be found online. And we have people like Bart, who's been a church planter for many, many, many decades.
I was bald when I started, and I'm still bald on the note of being bald. But yeah, a couple of decades at least.
Yes. But I love talking to Bart because Bart is truly an expert when it comes to helping churches to be found online. And so, Bart, I actually might push it back to you and say, could you tell us and our audience, what does Missional Marketing do?
What does Missional Marketing do? Missional Marketing, in a nutshell, when people ask me this question, I say that we really try to help churches leverage their digital presence to intersect with more people in their community that they want to reach for Jesus. Every church has a digital footprint. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's large. Sometimes it's accidental, sometimes it's super intentional. But I believe that as you know, Ariel, the Little Mermaid, sings, she wants to be where the people are. We as the church, we want to be where the people are. Where are the people? People are on the internet. And since people are on the internet, it's important for us as the local church to have a solid presence online. And there are a variety of ways that we enhance or improve our online presence as it relates to SEO or search engine optimization, local SEO, which is how we show up in maps and localized searches, how we run advertising campaigns in Google or Facebook and Instagram or other platforms that you might want to be advertising in. There's so many different ways that you can navigate the digital landscape. And what we try to do is help churches make sense of that. Take the budget that they have allocated for what I would call digital outreach, or in the church, the sometimes dirty word in churches, marketing, their marketing budget. And how do you maximize that budget to reach more people in your community for Jesus using the digital tools at your disposal? So as it relates to the Christmas season, you know, we do a couple of things. You know, one of the primary things that we're super, super busy doing right now is helping churches spin up ad campaigns to promote Christmas series, Advent series, Christmas events that they might have going on, or Christmas Eve services. We know that Christmas is often an easy invitation opportunity in your community, and advertising on the social platforms and on the internet is an easy way, again, to intersect with people who might not yet know that your church exists. So in a nutshell, that's what we do. That's what my team does.
Yeah. And one thing I love is after like Christmas and Easter every year, as a team, we kind of talk about like how many people did we reach as a company, which is kind of like how many ads were shown, how many clicks, how many, you know, how many people went to, you know, did stuff that we showed ads for. And it's crazy when you think about like the hundreds and hundreds of churches that we serve. It's like we service like millions and millions and millions of ads that turns into hundreds of thousands of clicks into church websites. And I just, man, what an honor to think about how many people attend churches every Sunday because of the stuff that we do as a company. And one thing, Bart, that I always think about like, what is it that's distinct about missional marketing? And one thing I love is that our company doesn't have this one size fits all kind of strategy. Like this is the one thing we do. And if you do this one thing, then it's a magic bullet. I love that we say there's no magic bullet, but there are many strategies that we want to help your church figure out what is the best fit for you in your church context, where your church is, the population, like who's around you, that kind of stuff. And I just love that we don't try to, like, we don't say, man, if you do this one thing, thousands of people are going to attend your church next week. We say, no, this is a long-term strategy. You have to keep tweaking the strategy. You have to figure out what works for where you are. And we take into account what your budget is and all that stuff. And people get to work with awesome people like you. I love that stuff.
I appreciate that, David. We work with literally hundreds of churches around the country, and you know they vary in size and shape, in theological camps, you know, different seasons of life in the church. Some of them are urban, some of them are suburban, some of them are rural. And you're right. We try very hard not to come across with a one size fits all, because what is going to work for a large multi-campus church in the Phoenix area with five campuses and 15,000 people attending on the weekend is not going to work for a small rural church in the middle of Nebraska or Michigan or Iowa that, you know, might see an average weekend attendance of, you know, 70 or 80 people. It requires a different strategy. And, you know, we do have, there are other companies that do similar things to what we do, or in some cases, even the same things that we do. But I feel like, you know, we try to be really transparent and forthright with churches in terms of what will work, what won't work, what our experience leads us to believe will be the best choice for them. Because we're here to build long-term relationships, not just get money for a quick fix, you know, to run an ad campaign for you. We want to be a long-term ministry partner, and therefore you need to trust us. And you're going to trust us better when we guide you with the way that you use your resources, because we know every dollar you spend on us is a dollar that someone in your church donated from their paycheck. That's the way it works. And so the end game here is that we all want to see people who are far from God come into a saving relationship with Jesus. We know that as church leaders, You want your church to grow. Grow. A growing church is or can be a sign of a healthy church. It's not necessarily always a sign of a healthy church. And, you know, there is a tension in that statement. I've said it many, many times myself in the past, and I've kind of gotten away from it, that, you know, healthy living things grow. Yes, they do. Sometimes they grow, you know, tall and healthy and strong, and sometimes they just grow fat and lazy and dysfunctional. And, you know, our goal is to help churches reach the people that God has called them to reach, which in some cases, you know, maybe that's tacking on 2 new attendees a week. In some cases, maybe it's you want 20 new families a week. And then there are different strategies and different ways of going about that. So yeah, that's the world that I get to live in. One of the other things that I love about our team is that the vast majority of us who are on the front lines working with churches have all been practitioners in local church ministry. And, you know, you and I have both served as pastors in churches. Several of the guys on our team and the gals on our team have served either as pastors on church staff or as communications directors in churches. And so everybody on our team that's interfacing with the churches and guiding them has a lot of hands-on experience in the work that we actually do. And I think that that's another added benefit for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, as you guys especially head towards Easter, if you don't have a team that you're working with or a coach that's coaching you with your strategies to reach out online, definitely reach out to Missional Marketing. And before we jump into our interview, there's one other kind of Christmas gift I want to make sure everyone knows about, and that is Sermon Spark. So Sermon Spark is a free AI-powered sermon inspiration tool, and we just released about 8 new tools on Sermon Spark. So I wanted to share that because it's very exciting. And I'll highlight a few of the tools that are there. One is a sermon illustration tool. That's one that people have been asking us for. So we made one. So for pastors who are looking for illustrations to show points that they're making in their sermon, we have a sermon illustration maker tool for you. The other ones, just to be aware of, is that we added a fun section in Sermon Spark. And it makes me think of the classic, like, Shining thing of all work and no play make, I don't know, what's the quote?
Jack a dull boy.
There you go. Make Jack a dull boy. But, you know, so, you know, you're working on your sermon. Sometimes you need to just take a little breather. So we added a fun section, which you could use the results in your fun section in your sermon. But
can I give you feedback on that? I was like, oh, well, that was a distraction that wasted 20 minutes of my time, but it was fun. You're right. It is a fun section.
You are welcome.
Like, yeah, thank you. Because, you know, that's what every pastor needs is a few little buttons to click to waste a little bit more time. It's not the same as wasting time watching TikTok videos, but yeah, maybe there's something in there that's useful. Yeah, it's fun though.
Maybe, yeah. So what is in there is a poem writer, a songwriter, a scripture rewriter scripture rewriter, which is that's probably the most fun one, where you can choose which voice, like Yoda. My favorite one is Generation Alpha, and then what you do is you put in a Bible verse, it spits it out in Generation Alpha, and then you say that to your kids and rate how big of an eye roll that they give you.
there you go. Well, here's one thing I will do. I didn't mean to mock your new tools in Sermon Spark. I hope it didn't come across that way. I will promise that in one of my Christmas messages this December, I will use one of those fun tools and deliver something on a Sunday that I have derived from the Sermon Spark fun section. It probably won't be the Gen Alpha thing, not on a Sunday, but I'll do a poem or I'll do something. I'll use one of them and then I'll report back in January how it went.
Yes. Well, here's what I know about writing sermons. Pastors, they get to this point that probably every single week where you start hitting your head and you're like, please God, may you please let something weird happen to me. I'm going to go to the grocery store. Please let somebody fall down or a spiritual interaction, like you want the person who's checking you out to ask for prayer. Like, please, Lord, you're like looking for anything. And so let Sermon Spark be that thing. If you're, you know, hey, make a poem and that's the thing you can share. Make a song and it's a little bit humorous, a little bit, do something. That it's the idea of, can we try to give you that little spark that your sermon needs, that without you begging and pleading and going to get the trash can and looking around your neighborhood, hoping something weird's going to happen just so you can put it in your sermon. Anyone who's written a sermon has been there. Have you been there, Bart?
I can't say that I have wished for someone to fall at the grocery store, but I will be looking for that now. But for sure. I love to start out my sermons with a personal illustration and try to tie that or connect that in. And there have been many, many times where I'm just like, man, I just cannot think of a time in my life that I can really relate to this in the way that I want to communicate it. And then I'll just get online and start Googling for like stories or news stories or something like that. And of course, we've got a news story finder in Sermon Spark, and then you've got the illustration generator. And so it again, sparks ideas. That's the whole idea. The whole idea with Sermon Spark is not to write your sermon for you, but to spark creativity to help you get it done quicker, more efficient, and maybe more with more impact.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So Merry Christmas. Everyone should go try that out. And you can also just, you know, email us, write in our notes, what your thoughts are. Tell us how many big of an eye rolls you got. And with that, I want to introduce that our conversation today is with a guy named Jason Moore. I wanted to talk with him about how churches could use AI this Christmas. So as you guys are listening to this podcast, you're kind of moving towards, okay, we have to finalize everything for Christmas. Hopefully everyone is thinking about Christmas at this point, but by the time that this podcast comes out, I hope that it can kind of generate some ideas of how your church could use AI this Christmas.
Well, thanks, David. Looking forward to this conversation. For those of you who might be new to our podcast, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you're listening so that you don't miss future episodes. And if you happen to be watching on our YouTube channel, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, like the video. Hopefully it's likable enough that you will like it. And leave us a comment in the section below on the YouTube channel. I monitor those comments, and I'd love to engage with you if you have questions or feedback on any of the content that you see or hear from this podcast. We would love to hear from you. So with
Jason Moore, the venerable Jason Moore, and we are excited to talk about Christmas. So it is, by the time this comes out, we're going to be, you know, about a month and a half away from Christmas. But even when you get towards October, when the churches start planning ahead, you really have to think about Christmas towards the end of October, in October, beginning of September. Think about it way in advance. But Jason and I are going to talk about AI and Christmas and ways that AI can contribute to your Christmas services. Jason, welcome.
Thank you.
And before we jump into anything, I would like to say congratulations.
Okay.
Because if those of you who are listening, Jason's newest book was just publicly released called, I think it's AI and the Church.
That is correct. AI and the Church, a clear guide for the curious and the courageous.
Yes. So yeah, I've been excited about this book coming out for quite some time. And I know Jason's worked super hard on it. And it is going to be a huge help to the church to help learn about AI. And thank you for writing it.
Thank you. It's been a labor of love and quite a bit of pain. Originally, it was supposed to be out by the end of last year. And I started working on it. And, you know, the pace of AI is moving so fast that I had to write and rewrite and cut whole sections that changed, you know, from one week to the next. And so I finished writing back in like April, and my publisher pushed really, really hard. It usually takes about 6 or 7 months for a book to come out. And they were able to release it on October 15th. So it's so far been very well received. I think it's number 13 right now on books in Christian ministry. And it's ranking, it's like 30 or 40 or something like that on all books on AI. That's inside and outside the church. So it seems like people are receiving it well. At one point, it was number 7. I'm thrilled that people are leaning in and excited about it.
Yes. And your book is awesome. I'm excited about everyone being able to read it. And I think you only had to rewrite it about 10 times because AI has changed so much in the past year and a half or so.
That is true. I tell people that sometimes it felt like I would spend a week working on a tutorial for how to rub sticks together to get fire. And the next week they'd come out with lighters and I didn't need that chapter anymore. So there were lots of things that I wrote and had to sort of discard and start over on. And it was the hardest book I've ever written. This is my 14th book actually. And nothing has been as difficult as this because AI changes almost daily.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. And yeah, we'll wish you more success on that. Excited about seeing how where it goes next. But we are here to then say, hey, Jason, you know a lot about AI and let's talk about Christmas.
Sure.
So here's an easy question. Can AI help churches for Christmas?
That is a very easy question, and the answer is yes, in many, many different ways. The first way that I would really recommend churches lean into AI this year for Christmas is to start by talking to your chatbot, your favorite chatbot. So that could be ChatGPT, that could be Gemini, that could be Grok, if you like that, Facebook has its own Meta AI now, but ask it to help you ideate. You know, what ideas you have that would make Christmas really different this year. You would be shocked at the great things that it can come up with. It can help you pick out music. If you're using ChatGPT connected to DALL-E, it can help you generate imagery. Believe it or not, it can help you create a custom website for your Christmas stuff. Like it writes HTML code. I've done all sorts of things. I'm not a coder, but I've used HTML generation out of ChatGPT to do some nice things. And so I think that would be a great place to get started. And there are some other tools that I would highly recommend as well. One of my favorite tools to play with is a program called 11 Labs. And 11 Labs does voiceovers. And it used to be that with 11 Labs, you would just type in whatever you wanted it to say, and you can still do that. And then you could pick a voice, and it's got, you know, hundreds of voices. And they actually sound pretty human. And now there's this opportunity where you can read it yourself and bring all the emotion and say things quiet and say things loud. And it will basically just convert your voice into another voice, which can be deep or can be female or male or, you know, a child or whatever. So I do have one example I can show you for this that I did last year. This was before you had the ability to do the voiceover work yourself. But what you'll see in the clip I'm about to show you, first of all, I used ChatGPT to help write the script. So while I fed it a lot of my own ideas, it helped me kind of craft the script. I used AI to track a bunch of different vehicles in some shots, which you're going to see, and I replaced it with a 3D model of an old Woody wagon. And then the voiceover you're going to hear was completely generated in 11 Labs. So we'll take a look at that.
Ah, the holiday season, a time of joy, but oh, the rush and the hustle. Christmas time often means loading up the car with family, luggage, presents, and more. It's often a chaotic time where we can't help but remember the nostalgia of those Norman Rockwell-esque Christmases of the past. But did they ever really live up to our expectations? The reality of this season is that while it might look warm and fuzzy in old photographs, it can be pretty complicated. Just as Jesus' arrival in the world involved a long, perilous journey, our road to Christmas may require us to buckle up for an exhausting and exhilarating journey of our own. This Advent, we invite you on a road trip. The journey to Christmas.
I forgot to mention that logo actually started off in DALL-E as well. I had to do a lot of editing to it to get it to a final state. But, you know, AI can be a great tool in helping to achieve some awesome things.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, let's go back to 11 Labs. So sure. Let's help brainstorm for a minute. Let's say a church church of 300, church of 500, overworked creative arts guy or woman or person is listening to this, and they're trying out 11 labs. Could you just name two or three, just, you know, real quick brainstorm ideas of how could something like 11 labs, and you showed an awesome, amazing video, and that's in the voiceover. Very, very awesome. But yeah, help brainstorm a few more just like quick ways that that overworked creative arts pastor could use something like 11 labs.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I recognize the visuals in that were a little bit complicated, but you could take a series of still images. Let's say that you are trying to welcome people home for Christmas. You could take real photos, or you could generate some images of people gathered around a fire or around the Christmas tree or whatever. You could generate those in something like DALL-E or Midjourney or Flux or Ideogram. All of those are image generation programs. And then you could write a voiceover that sort of captures the idea of remembering the nostalgic Christmases of the past, or what it's like to gather with your family around the tree and the joy of the season, but what's it really about, you know, and things like that. And so you could write a script, take it over to 11 Labs. By the way, 11 Labs, if you want to try it out, I think it's $1 for the first month and then $5 per month after that. And that's for kind of the lowest plan. But for a long time, I had that lowest plan, and I rarely ran out of credit. So I did upgrade when I started to use it more. But what's nice about it is that you can then go in and you can either put text in and create your script and then pick a voice, or you can read it yourself, and you may not have a voiceover quality voice, but you know how to capture kind of the emotion that you're after. And it sounds less robotic when you do it that way. And you can make yourself sound like just about anything. So one other little test I did earlier today, I put in a simple little voice knowing we were going to have this conversation. Here's another voice that was generated just from text. So I just wrote this. I would say it's not the most compelling read. I might reread it in my own voice, but here's what that sounds like.
Ah, the holiday season, a time of family and fun. But what is the true meaning of the season? Join us for a series exploring what Christmas is all about.
You can kind of take and craft whatever sort of feel that you're after with whatever kind of voice you'd like, because there are just a ton of them.
I love that. And that's where you gave us two examples. One, an absolutely amazing video that you made about, you know, say, I think it was for last Christmas. And I've seen that video before, and absolutely it's amazing. And then even just sharing a real quick, you know, voiceover. And so you can either write in text into voice or record your own voice, which are both really awesome. That's where a church pastor, as a creative arts pastor, can just quickly record something, and then boom, instead of using their voice, they have an amazing voiceover for their video, whatever they're doing. So so there we have 11 Labs as a brainstorm. ChatGPT, a large language model, brainstorm ideas, 11 Labs, and what else?
So there are two other places I would point people toward, really kind of three, to create some imagery. So if you already have the pro account of ChatGPT, so OpenAI's platform includes DALL-E, and you can describe what you'd like to see, and ChatGPT can then use DALL-E to make an image for that, which is pretty cool. It does a pretty decent job. It's not my favorite, but just as a general image generator, it does okay. One of the things I think people don't know is that you can actually drag in reference images and ask it to look at those images to create something that is your own. So if I've used it before to kind of create like a now nostalgic, older kind of Christmas vibe. So I'll grab some like Bing Crosby album cover with fonts and colors that I like that are kind of retro, you know, vintage, you might say, and put those into ChatGPT and then ask it to create something in that style, and it will actually do that. So DALL-E and ChatGPT are one option you might look at. The second option that you might look at, which is free, is called Flux. And it's they just came out with Flux 1.1. There are a bunch of different places that you can use it for free. It's actually an open source app, which means you can download it on your computer if you have a faster computer. It takes a little bit of know-how to configure it and all that, but there are a bunch of places on the web you can try it for free. One of those is, I think it's freepik.com. You can use the model for free. You have to register for an account. They do have a paid version of it too, but you can use some things for free. But Flux is really good at creating kind of stock photo type images. It doesn't do design as well, but it does kind of images really well. And one of the things, I'm sure David, you've experienced this before, AI does not spell things right a lot of the times. It doesn't know what to do with text. Flux has done a pretty good job of training the text model within it to spell things right, much more than like DALL-E and other apps. So it doesn't always get it right, but Flux is getting there. So you might check out Flux, freepik.com. And then I believe I use an app called Krea, K-R-E-A, and it adds all sorts of detail to an image, but they've actually just added Flux as an image generator on that site. And I know they have a certain number of things that you can do for free every day when you sign up for an account. I'm on a paid account, but I know they have Flux over there as well. So you might check into that. Another one, the third one that I wanted to mention, that's one of my favorite tools to use, is Ideogram. There's always some debate about how you say it, but I found a page on their site not long ago when I was working on the book that said it's Ideogram is how you say that. And they have a number of generations you can do there for free every day as well. And what I really like about Ideogram is that it does design type stuff better than any other platform that I've seen. So think of Flux or Midjourney or apps like that as like stock photo type stuff, kind of more organic. But I like to think of Ideogram as like a design platform, and it spells things right much of the time as well. And you can even do longer bodies of text. The more text you put in, the better chance it's not going to spell it all right.
Yeah.
But I would encourage you to take whatever idea that you have for Christmas and run it in there. They even have this little thing called Magic Prompt that will take your simple prompt and add some kind of flowery language to it to help you get even better results. And so those are three of the places that I would encourage folks to go to do even more.
Yeah, that's great. And especially the idea of a helpful thing that you mentioned is that different platforms, which we talk about this all the time, different large language model platforms tend to be good at different things. And you brought up the fact that even image generators are good at different things. So for those stock type photos, you can go use Flux for, ones that use words, definitely go to Ideogram. And that's a really helpful thing. Just a real quick thing. I think some pastors who want to do something fun for Christmas.
Yeah.
If you want to create an image of your church pastor or staff, their actual faces, doing something silly.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, could you let people know how their church staff could do that thing? Every Christmas, every church staff, they do those elf yourself things. Yeah. So in the world of AI, how could you use your pastor's image and make him riding a horse like Putin or something like that?
Sure. It's still a little bit cumbersome to get there, but you can do it. So if you're on a platform called Midjourney, one of the things that Midjourney has is something called character reference. And you can upload, say, 4 or 5 pictures of a person to the platform and then drag those in and ask Midjourney to use them as a character reference. And so then it'll generate a new image based on the images that you've uploaded. It doesn't always do like 100% likeness. It's close. Sometimes it does a great job, but sometimes it gets sort of close. So that's one way to do it. There's another methodology called a LoRA, L-O-R-A, and I can't remember off the top of my head what L-O-R-A stands for. It's low something or other. You can train a sort of model on what you look like. And if you search YouTube on how to create a LoRA, you can use LoRAs with Flux. So Flux can reference, I did some images of myself in different, on different stages as a speaker, and I turned myself into Superman, and I did some other things. And it learned what I look like, and then I can apply that to Flux. And I can say, create an image of Jason as Santa Claus, you know, or whatever. And it learns your appearance. So it's a little bit involved, but I would encourage you to kind of check that out. And there are some other technologies out there. There's one that I use occasionally. It's a free download. But again, you have to kind of know how to configure it called Face Fusion, that can take any photograph and remap a face with it. So I could take a picture of Santa Claus, give it my picture, and it will sort of remap my face onto Santa Claus. It also works with videos. So you've heard of deep fakes before. Yeah. I put my face on Indiana Jones when he goes to get the statue, and it turned it into video and that kind of thing. So there are a few ways to do it. It's just a little bit tricky. I suspect in the coming, next 6 months or so, there'll be a very instant and easy way to do it. And right now there's some complicated ways to do it, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. Well, we got to finish up here. But I hope that the ideas you shared, we have some functional ideas, some writing ideas, some, video or image ideas, and then even a fun idea here at the end of things that churches can do when it comes to AI and Christmas. If you're looking for more ideas, you definitely want to check out our Facebook group, AI for Churches. Jason is one of the admins in that group, and you can also find him all kinds of places online when it comes to AI stuff. He is always speaking somewhere, so you might find him speaking somewhere near you. And so, Jason, we're definitely a big fan of you, and I'm a big fan of you and all the stuff you're working on. And again, so excited about your book.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all the support. And I'm a fan of you and everything that's happening over at the AI for Churches group, too. So we hope to see you there.